shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love, and your kindness toward us, and especially, Father, your revelation of yourself this day, thoroughly exposing yourself to view exactly who and what you are in your Godheadedness and hoodedness, and also manifesting who you are in your nature. And we find you unveiled before us, Lord, even as we are unveiled before you. And we appreciate this great intercourse, this great love which you manifested toward us, because this would not happen except that you are a spirit of love, and we thank you for that. We know then not only in whom we have believed and are persuaded of your goodness and your keeping care, but we are persuaded of you yourself, Lord, not simply what you're doing, your attributes, but the wholeness of yourself and in relationship to us, and we part of that wholeness, Lord, in your great purpose. We pray, Lord, that will unfold to us this morning and begin to realize more and more exactly who and what we are and where we are, exactly where the prophet said we would come because of this great end-time message, waiting patiently for the resurrection and the rapture. So we commend ourselves to you this morning in Jesus' name, thanking you for your grace. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to continue from the last message that I brought concerning the word in John 1 and 1. But before we go there, you know, I have this constant gripe with me all the time about what is going on. We're a democratic society, and therefore the president is with the executive branch is supposed to be, according to the Constitution, entirely democratic, which would mean to reflect the will of the people. And also Congress, which is our legislative assembly, they are to legislate according to democratic principles, which would come from the people. And the judicial branch, which also is set in order, we have our checks and balances. Also democratic, being more or less almost all, except the Supreme Court, and that also has a democratic process by their not only appointment, their confirmation by Congress, but most judges are also elected by the people. Now, I just want to show you where we stand, especially since Brandeis himself said that the Supreme Court ought to legislate rather than to adjudicate. So it's the whole system has gone to pot. And we're no more a democracy than a hill of beans, you know. So let me read to you what I just read. I'm going to find Jared Sandberg writing on the Microsoft case, which I believe is a travesty against the democratic principles of America concerning business and whatever. He says, Microsoft takes issue with the way the judge conducted the trial. Company lawyers say the compressed schedule, 10 weeks between the time the Department of Justice complaint was filed and the original court date, put Microsoft at an unfair disadvantage. Now, what's democratic about that? See, there should be a place where they can agree. Of course, if you're going to stall too much, there's also a process there, because stalling is not a part of the democratic process. Microsoft attorneys also complain that the judge has allowed an enormous amount of hearsay. Now, that's the gist. They complain that the judges have allowed an enormous amount of hearsay, secondhand knowledge into the record. For instance, one Apple executive testified that he had heard from someone who had heard from someone else that Microsoft wanted to Apple to kill a product that competed with Microsoft's. But some antitrust observers think it will be hard for Microsoft to prevail on this point because without a jury, now there's democracy, jury, judges are more willing to allow hearsay testimony on the record. Can you believe that in America? Can you believe? Well, that's as bad as a Branham Bunch. Fella down in the Carolinas, his name was Miller. He heard from somebody who heard that I did not believe in prayer, did not believe in praying for the sick, did not believe in communion. He heard that he heard. Well, bless God, we have heard from heaven through a vindicated prophet we know as nobody else knows. America's gone plumb to pot. Don't expect justice or anything except from God. And remember this, the judge has already been here and judged. And we have sung with Brother Branham, I'll go with him through the judgment. That's not future, that's over. We're doing it and have done it, and we'll do it here. Because some men send their sins on beforehand, the others let them trail and follow when it's too late. I don't want to hear my sins repeated from the housetop and find myself remiss. I want to find myself absolved. And I am absolved through the resurrection this morning, and I bring that to your attention. That Jesus didn't only shed his blood, but it's the blood of the covenant. And that covenant was originally with the Father and the Son, and is now with you and me. And the beautiful thing is we had nothing to do with it because we are heirs. Somebody else earned it, somebody else bought it, somebody else got it, and we're going to get it. And the beautiful part is, and I love this morning that Jesus rose, because when a man leaves the will, the Bible calls him a testator. And there is a testament, and the testament is not valid till the testator dies. And even then, I've told you before, that doesn't mean a hill of beans, that there's a bunch of crooked lawyers and a bunch of people drop to get you, filing lawsuits, take you through court, and pretty soon there's nothing left. But Jesus rose as the executor of his own will. And this morning, not only on the right hand, the majesty on high, but now on the Father's throne, right there instead of the Father, and the Father comes, he's right down here today bringing the church to perfection. That's the shout, the chrisma, putting the church in order to get her all ready to be taken in the rapture. Listen, I preached a resurrection message, so you just take it home with you and breathe it. Put in the spare parts, and the Lord will bless you and realize that even though we're not talking in length upon a message of the resurrection, in a nutshell, you have heard the truth. And all you've got to do is read the will. You don't even need to have somebody read it to you. It's been read many times, and you can keep on reading. And everything there is yours. And you will not miss anything whatsoever. The only thing you can miss in this will is the fact that many times we do not sow the Word of God. In fact, too many times we do not sow the Word. But every time we sow that Word, absolutely it'll come to pass. And God wants us not to just have the Word of God upon our lips, but in our minds and in our hearts, and then that powerful word transmitted by the Spirit from our soul to our mind, and we fix our minds upon God and just obey that word. And you tell you what, listen, that beats prayer a million miles, because prayer to us almost always means, Lord, I want to get you to work for me. When did God not work for us? Twisting his arm to think we can get something without sowing the word. Spinning our wheels in the sand, as it were. Now, we don't need to do that. We know that the Son is risen, a mediator, intercessor. All we have to do is plant his word and stand there patiently till it's watered. And remember, we don't bring the rain. We don't bring the sun. All we got to do is bury the seed, that's all. Bury it in our hearts and our minds, and sit still waiting for God's sun and rain to fall upon it. And no matter what happens, even though it may cost tears and sorrows and trials and tribulations, stand there, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Prayer then is standing before God, as Brother Branham said, in order for him to change our minds. Which means we have sown the word. Now he steadies our minds. Even as David said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So therefore, the trusting of God, keeping our minds fixed, will bring us to perfect peace. Will bring us every fruit in the scripture. God cannot deny his word. The Bible said so. And he said, whatever word he sends forth from his mouth will accomplish what it was sent, will not return unto him void. And remember, that word is sown only one place, and that's in the human beings. That's in the bride where we are today. Great cause for rejoicing in the resurrection. Jesus right now is our surety that everything in the will, everything he died for, is ours. All we have to do is to search that will out. And when we see our name and the will, that contract, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. Now, if it says there's a prophet coming in there, that's not yours. Huh? If it says the ministry, a man is going to come in John 14 and 12, and he will do the greater things, that's not you. Right? You know, what are you looking at it for? Huh? You can't read that will any other way than by the intention of the one who wrote it. Thank God we had the greatest lawyer on earth, and William Marion Branham. God himself came down and read the will and put our names in the right places. Hallelujah. Now I feel real good. I could send you home and have a good dinner. You should be happy. I don't want to make you unhappy. All right. Something else I was going to read here for my Pentecostal friends in Canada out there. I don't know where they're in Prince Edward Island, I think it is. Oh, a piggy poultice. Now, here's my weird sense of humor coming up. As we age, it becomes more difficult for our bodies to repair themselves. Yeah. Tell me it again. Scars from surgery or trauma form more easily, and recurring takes longer. That can't be true, mate, can it? Only too true. I'm having the same trouble you're having, honey. Don't give up. However, it's hard to see anymore. I just had these glasses changed. They ain't worth two bits. Cost $200, too. That shows you justice, doesn't it? Always remember, pay for what you don't get. And be happy because somebody else got it. This is a time to be happy. However, researchers at Purdue University have recently received Food and Drug Administration. Well, hallelujah. Approved to begin marketing a material derived from a pig's small intestine that can restore the body's healing ability. And my good Pentecostal friends in reading the church ages said, if you used animal cells, you'd die. My, what are you going to do now? They're going to run for pig intestines. That which goes round comes round. Don't mind laughing. It's good to laugh. The Lord's going to laugh a bunch of people in derision one day. He doesn't mind a happy chuckle from you and me. Why should he? He wouldn't do it. He made us to laugh. We're supposed to laugh. He's going to fill our mouths with laughter. Isn't that Bible? I think Bible frank, isn't it? Yeah, I don't mind laughing at these things. Not at all. Pig's intestines that can restore the body's healing ability. The procedure, which leaves little scarring, can even return lost function in some cases. Wow. When the material called small intestine submucosa, S-I-S, is applied, sutured, or even injected. Yeah, they said it'd kill you. I've had about, I had 50 or 75 cellular injections. I had a whole bunch in my spine here to restore the cartilage because the cartilage is all gone. And I feel I had about 10 to 15 good years out of it. Hi, piggy. Good for the piggy. Mine was bovine. They're going to get piggy. Makes you think why it was that when the devils were cast out of the man of Gadara, they had headed for the pigs. they recognize the sort of a life in there. Kindred life. I'm being mean. I'm not mean in the sense that I'm mean. I'm just mean. Even injected into the body, the material encourages new cells. That's what it did in my body. But the Pentecostals, they went to some stupid little doctor under the FDA or MA. Oh no, it can't be done, it'll kill you. Well, I had mine over 20 years ago, and as far as I know, I'm very much alive, but not as alive as I was 20 years ago. Stupid is stupid. Into the body. The material encourages new cells and blood vessels growth by acting as a lattice for the body cells to grow on. That's the basis of cellular therapy, of which I'm more than well acquainted. So is Brian Bauer. He's well acquainted with cellular therapy. Books and everything else. I don't think anybody else here is outside the two of us. He had his son injected. And as far as I know, the boy's living, isn't he? Hasn't he been living the last few years? Oh, that's strange. You had a corpse running around your house. Can't you tell a corpse from a corpse? I'm laying it on. Don't worry. I know what I'm doing. It simply is a scaffold that serves as an environment for wound healing, says Stephen Badatak, whatever it is, senior, grown up and powerful mind, researcher. Because SIS comes from pig intestines, emphasis revealed, that is normally incompatible with human tissue. Tissue rejection has a big concern. But evidence is so far suggests the pig tissue is well tolerated. Let's have some more of that other white meat. Brother Branham said this message will be vindicated by science. And I am told, this is hearsay, but I think it is correct. He told Sidney Jackson, the Church Age book is Thus Saith the Lord. And I do know, Colin still testifies that Brother Branham phoned him. He wasn't there and he told his wife, this book is right. Nice. That little feeling of vindication that I have this morning and you have with me is going to go a whole lot further when we get taken out. Well, got a couple hours and a half left. Okay. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now everything in there, as in the book of John, is based upon the Word. Or Logos. Now, William Marion Branham, proven by the vindication set forth in Deuteronomy 18, and you know what that is, to be Malachi 4, 5, and 6, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, Matthew 17 and 11, Elijah will truly come and restore all things, William Branham, Acts 3, 21, the heavens must receive and retain Jesus until all the restoration of the Word. Who does it? Elijah. That also, William Marion Branham. Revelation 10 and 7, the messenger standing on earth, the prophet, who reveals the complete contents of everything the prophet said. He said, this William Marion Branham, vindicated prophet, according to what I read. Now, if you can't understand that William Branham became the flesh of that scripture, so that he was the living word of God made manifest in flesh. You have not let your thinking go, and you do not understand what I'm saying, so please ask God to help you. Because if you don't let your thinking go and believe, those things which are entirely outside the realm of human thinking and human reasoning, based upon materiality, which you observe the conduct thereof and what can be done with it, you will never, never, ever get off this ground in a rapture. You can't do it. Because the renewing of your mind is the secret of metamorphosis. No metamorphosis without renewing of the mind. But the renewing of the mind brings the metamorphosis, even though you say, well, I wonder how it can do it. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Evans did a fabulous job just using his brain, putting our generator for electricity in the house. The minute the power goes off, my generator goes sit like that, keeps everything running, stove, tanks, everything. When the power comes on, zap, it goes off. Russell, I don't know a thing about it. But I'm sure glad you do, and you did it. Now that's what I'm talking about. I can't tell you how God does and what he does and why he does it, in the sense that I am privy to it as though I am his partner or something. All I know is the revelation, and I stand here to receive it. It's like the Battle of Balaclava, the noble 600. It's not to reason why, it's but to do and die. Into the jaws of death, into the mouth of hell rode the 600. Cannons left them, cannons the right of them. Volleyed and thundered. They went there, and they came back, but not the 600. How many of you are in the Battle of Balaclava today, and you're ready to enter that valley? You think you are. But you're ready to go through and come back when all around you lie the corpses that thought they could do it. They listened. They charged. And when 10,000 people were supposed to believe this message, Brother Branham stood in the pulpit. He said, they tell me there's 10,000 believe this message. Got to shake them off. Too many. You'll learn. Brother Branham told a certain man, and I know he did not lie. He said, son, I'm up here and you're down here. When I'm gone, you'll be up there. He says, you'd be up there. He didn't say you'd take my place. He didn't say you'd assume something. He said you'd be where I am now and have left it. And when he was beyond the curtain of time, the voice said, all that you ever loved and all that ever loved you will be with you. I'm going to be there. I don't have any doubts. Why should I doubt? So William Branham vindicated a God. According to these scriptures said, if you make Jesus the Word, you have three gods. Now, if a horse can act like a cow, and a pig can act like a monkey, then you might have reason to believe that a vindicated prophet could make a mistake. Now, this is a crux. Is the word God or is it Jesus? Now, he said, if you make the word in John 1 and 1, Jesus, you have three gods. Now, you may try to take John 1 and 14 and manipulate it. You may take a lot of things that Brother Branham said and try to manipulate it. But you'd be wrong. It's not to reason why. It's but to believe or die. Well, this is your Battle of Balaclava. is the Word God. Can we adjust our thinking, formulate our thoughts within our mind, resident in the brain, transmitted down by the Spirit into our soul, and the soul with the Christ modicum of Christ within us feed that dual personality? The real you, a little bit of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit, sealed back. Feed it back to your mind and come to the perfect knowledge that He is the Word. Now, it's going to take adjusting. I'm struggling with it, and you'll hear this sermon a little different from the last one, but it's going to be the same basically. Because as I teach, I know what I'm saying, but I don't know it as well as I want to know it. But I don't have to know all about my generator. I just have to keep my hands off of it and let the processes work that have been put there by a master hand of a master electrician. Now, I know Russ doesn't think he's a master electrician, but if I knew 1/100th of what he knows, I'd figure out right on top of the heap. Now, all right. Thus, no matter who would argue from the Greek or Aramaic or history or doctrine or the traditions of any people who are prone to worship, have worshiped, and do worship, even to manifesting the blessings of God by gifts and signs and wonders or prodigies, or the most brilliantly able users of scripture or philosophy, you negate them. For they must bow to this prophet's declaration of John 1:1, it is not Jesus, the man, the Son of God, born to Virgin Mary, but is Jehovah Elohim himself, period, exclamation mark, amen and amen, that's it, over and out. In other words, this is the proclamation of God, it is said, it is proven, and there's nothing more to be said about it. Sit down, shut up, amen, over, out. Don't even try to talk to me. I've closed the line, this is God. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Over and out. Roger, amen. Why? Because we have a communication. Even Lamsa himself, whom Brother Branham commended, cries from the Aramaic and Hebrew to prove this is Jesus, the Son of God. I derive from that that he is Jesus only. Somehow, somewhere, because he's not a Trinitarian. And I can't believe by what he read, what I read from what he wrote, that he believes what Brother Branham believed. Lumps is dead now, and I got no way of contacting him. He uses the ploy that Peter, dumb as a stone, that's right in the Aramaic, because that's what Simon Peter means. He's a stonehead. Bullhead. Dumb as a stone. Bullheaded. Declared a stonehead by Jesus. That's what he called him. Now we want to take the Greek and make it some nice little thing. And you can. You can go both ways. But literally, according to Lamsa, that's a traditional saying, this guy is a stonehead. Now, you think Jesus didn't know that Peter was stubborn? If he knew one fella, an Israelite without guile, how did you know I'm that kind of a guy? Easy going. I don't hold anything against anybody. I'm happy. I want to stay happy. Can't be happy holding things against people.
I'm just happy. That's true, you can't. Can't be happy. You can't be happy looking for somebody to get you. Now, if you kick them in the teeth and they did get you, that's a different story. That's you showing anger, and it's not good, because it won't get you anywhere except more trouble. I ought to know that by now. Okay. He declares, Peter, dumb as a stone and declared stone-headed by Jesus. Now, you can take that how you want it. Did not know any Greek. And John, who likewise, speaking only Aramaic, would not use logos, a Greek word, but a word that is from the Aramaic, miltha, which means utterance or word of God, or Hebrew, debar, which means to speak and then arbitrarily, and as though ordained of God. In other words, it's an arbitrary statement, and there can be no arbitrary statements made by anybody except God. See, so now, if you're looking at this through Mr. Lomps' eyes, you are saying that Jesus is God. Well, Jesus is not God. God is Elohim. And Jesus is the son of Elohim. The same man made a cogent point when he said the Jews could not accept Jesus as the son of God because all mythology, Roman, Greek, and everything around them, they taught that the gods came down from heaven, had sexual intercourse with young women, and the children born were demigods or gods. So if anybody said to a Jew that God actually bore a son through a woman, they go, ha, 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 him and who else? Because they didn't understand. And no one has understood but us, except perhaps the first age and a few people, exactly how that son was born of God. God taking us to the beginning when the son came forth as a light. And then God forming that body by creating the sperm and the egg, which has to be a physical factor in order to bring forth life, wrapping himself in it to produce the DNA and RNA circuitry, and then the son could step in and come forth as a born one. But when he did, he had a memory, which you and I never had. Now, who in the world is going to believe what I just said based upon what the prophet said, except you're renewing your mind? Now, we've got to learn to do this with logos, and I'm not there, so I'm not going to be rough on you, but I'll be saying some pretty strong things. All right. He sets Jesus forth as the Word according to Genesis 12. I didn't even bother reading it. I just look it up now this morning. We read it together. And I hope I got it right. Hanged if I know if I do. Genesis 12 and 3. Well, we'll read what he says. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, now, that's fine concerning Abraham and concerning Isaac. And remember, Isaac is typed as Christ being seed. Not, as Paul said, not seed as of many, but seed as of one being Isaac. All right, we know what Mr. Lomps is saying. Well, you know, Lomps is wrong. Now, I hope it doesn't meet up with him on the judgment day now that he's dead. And it might not on the very grounds that I don't think he discussed anything with Brother Branham. But I'm just showing you that no matter how a brilliant student you are, exactly how much you know, and exactly how you can be Adam and say, oh, no, no. Well, William Branham was a prophet, of course, when he prophesied this, and this was done. But when it came to the word, ho, 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 we know better. Well, ha, 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 they don't know better. Now, I'm laughing in derision with God, and when I got a partner like him, I'm not worried. Now, I don't have his good spirit. I got my own spirit, but I'm quoting his word and going right down the line. I'm not going to draw back for 1 minute. Now, we go to Genesis 49 and 10. And the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. There he's putting it to Jesus again. So the man's wrong. Although he knows the Aramaic. So what's the Aramaic got to do with it? Well, I know positively that was the street language. I got no problem with that. Now, let me tell you something, and I'm going to interpolate here, so just keep your thoughts now. I'm talking about the students, the philosophers, the teachers, and this and the that. No matter what you know, you cannot stack up against a prophet who is vindicated by God, because God is eyeballing you in the prophet, and you are eyeballing God in the prophet, and he says right there, thus saith the Lord, this is John 1 and 1, which is, this is Jehovah Elohim, it is not Jesus, and I don't care then what anybody says, how they try to finagle around and do this and do that and say, but Brother Branham also said in many, 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 many places that Jesus was the Word. Yes, he was the Word, but Brother Branham said the prophets were a part of the Word, but Jesus was the whole Word, and this Bible sets forth that one who is the Word mentioned within the Word. Jesus the Word is not God the Word, but they both better be Word, because I've never seen a horse that produced a cow. I can't see a God whose word it wouldn't produce word. It's just that simple. Now, are you getting your minds renewed?
Amen.
You better get, because you've been taught all this junk about evolution, mutations. I got no doubt that, I do have plenty of doubts that people came from monkeys. I don't have any doubts at all they came from snakes. But the snake himself was 100% changed. And you know how the snake got 100% changed? That Satan worked in his mind, and he went from an upright creature next to man, smart, intelligent, strong, brilliant, to creeping as animal. Now, if you want to get turned from your caterpillar existence to a butterfly, how do you do it? The same way the beast got knocked on the head and we got knocked down, by changing the word. Get back to the word. Get back to the word. That's the big thing right there. Now, where is Mr. Lamsa's authority but self-proclaimed erudition? That's a pedantic display of knowledge. Look at me. Making him the judge of Scripture. As far as I know, Lamsa did not speak Aramaic as a native tongue, but he had to learn it. So, now, just keep everything in mind I say. I'm going to take you on a couple minute journey. There is not so much a travelogue, although it is that, but a journey made by a very intelligent and able communicator, a Jew, who had the happy thought that in the diaspora, which took place right after the Babylonians returned from, Israel returned from Babylon, there were 10 tribes that were called lost. And he said, they are not lost. They are somewhere. They are existing. And I am going to take the scripture and I'm going to trace in that scripture everything said where they took journeys, where journeys are mentioned and towns are mentioned, so that if I go to those places, I will find evidence that they were there. Now, that's what? 20-some hundred years ago. Maybe 2,400 years ago. 25. Now, the day of Pentecost, there were listening around the temple Jews who were came from Parthia, whatever, the Media, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, from Rome, Cretes and Arabians. They're all Jews. And they all have different languages. But he knew something I didn't know, and I've never known any scholar to tell it. And I haven't read all the books, and I'm not that smart. But he said, as we know the street language that all the people in Israel used was Aramaic, so it was Aramaic that these other Israelites, the 10 tribes, used hundreds of years before Christ came on the scene. Well, he began his journey. Very fortunately, he had the money to take with him cameramen and a staff. And he went into India, and there he found people who had and were worshiping according to Moses. Now follow me. And inscriptions on ancient stones was in Aramaic. They heard there was a stone in Afghanistan. But they went into the war-torn zone, and they found a rock which couldn't be uncovered, so they couldn't read it. So they looked around, and they found 2 more great rocks, and in Aramaic were Hebrew writings. They went to China. They found the Aramaic. In India, all these places they went. Finally, they said, we need the Kohens. That's the priests. The 2 words, Levi and Kohen, signify priesthood. They said they got to be somewhere. They searched and they found an island, I think Mediterranean, I'm not sure, I don't think it's that, full of Kohens. Why is he doing this? Because he wants the millions of Jews returned to Palestine in order to set up a temple worship. Now, you say, just a minute. They came from Egypt. Yeah. They were flown into Ethiopia. Full-fledged Jews that are absolutely black as ebony. And some of them that are brown. In China, they were Chinese-looking. But what did the great Hebrew scholar say? Now listen carefully and get this, because this is most fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. You heard what I said? And I'm not kidding. Get your ears open. He said, I don't care what their physical features are. The soul is Jewish. They know what William Branham taught us. Yeah. The soul goes back to Adam that goes back to God. And I don't care if a Jew has features that come from Timbuktu, from the tip of South America. They didn't go there. They only went where the Bible said. And they found evidence of every single tribe. And they even found tribes with the 10 commandments, the full Torah, the full Torah. And they were even taking lambs and shedding the blood. And one group of Muslims, they found, weren't really Muslims. They'd allowed the infiltration of some of the Muslim properties, but they were believing the 10 commandments, which is Mosaic, and the Muslims do not go to Moses, they go to Abraham and Muhammad, although they do admit prophets. Would even say, well, Jesus was a prophet, but he wasn't ours, so ours supersedes him like the Mormons. This to me was the most amazing thing I've heard in many, many, many years. Science proving every bit of this word that Brother Branham brought us. Now, I've asked Lloyd to search the internet and see if we can pick it up. I don't care what it costs. If we can get it, I want to get that for everybody that wants to see it. Illegally, maybe, who knows? Don't just send the copy up. We're allowed to do that. To see it. Now, what I brought this up for specific this time is to show you the Aramaic is basic. How did the Greek get there? I can only answer what I was taught for many, many years, and you've been taught it too, that the time of Jesus was especially propitious to come because God had raised up the Roman Empire with its far-flung borders, with the good roads and the law, wherein the gospel could spread freely on the waterways, the roads, etc. And I have never had any proof of this, that the Greeks had the language. Now, we know that Philip, being a Greek, and you go right down there, having taken over in Alexander the Great, they would have spread the Greek language the same. It is true that when Hitler invaded pretty well all of Europe into Russia, all over, he was there long enough so that the German language is quite well known everywhere he went. But now apply that to England. They went everywhere, superseding the Dutch and the Spanish. And where they did, the English language is, and that has become a carrier for the Western people to receive the Bible as we have it today. But I don't know that much about the Greek, as though the Greek was the vehicle that God chose. On the other hand, the Septuagint is a very remarkable volume, which is the Old Testament by 70 scholars, put into the Greek. But anyway, the scholars are duty-bound to follow the Greek. But as it was known in the first century, where a diphthong, which is a double vowel, and you don't understand it, can change the scripture radically. Then if a diphthong can change the scripture, you stand with me this morning that one word off, taken away, one word added, will destroy you, because one word off is Satan's kingdom. And as much as you are worshiping God, you are worshiping God in Satan's kingdom, then who is ruling you in your worship? Satan. Oh, well, I'm different. Yeah, you just think you're different from me. That's true. And you're different from God's children. That's true. But you're wrong if you have beliefs in your heart like that. So now, with that in mind, that we can trace the Aramaic maybe 2,700 years. But God put it in the Greek because the scribe is no different from the teacher, and the teacher is no different from the vindicated prophet, if they're of God. Because God said, "Behold, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes," and you wouldn't listen. What I'm saying is, I don't care if you put this Bible into Jabberwocky, if there was such a language, God would see that that word is absolutely correct and definitive in so many places. If there was one little mistake somewhere, you couldn't possibly avoid getting the truth. The Catholics have tried to change the Bible. I've got the Douay version. Then I got Monsignor Knox's, which is absolutely fabulous in translation. And he makes his footnotes that where they got purgatory is from 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, where your works are wood, hay, and stubble, and you could get burnt up. And that's the stupidest thing you ever saw. There isn't anybody who could actually change this word because God has ordained it. And I can tell you this, and I've said it before, if you take just one doctrine in the Bible, I don't care what you take, you will find you have to bring in every other single doctrine and you make it perfect. Can't help it, brother, sister. You cannot help it, because this is thus saith the Lord. Now, with that in mind, you simply cannot study the Bible through education or any channel except through God Himself, having given us the Holy Spirit, whereby we can be taught of God. And that does not supersede a fivefold ministry, and the fivefold ministry does not supersede the prophet, because there ain't no fivefold ministry, and there ain't any children of the prophets unless there's a prophet. Now, if you're not a child of the prophet, you ain't nothing to write home about. But God's got you cornered, and you'll answer to God. Because Peter said, you are the children of the prophets. And the last prophet will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And the fathers are prophets. So the last prophet will sow the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent in the garden to the prophet in the former reign. And there won't be one thing left to chance. There won't be one slip. There won't be one dot or one tittle. It's going to be perfect. And you know, Paul said, you that are perfect. And I just want to just really see if you let your hair down or not. But he said, you that are perfect. And the word perfect comes from the ancient Greek traditions that you have been initiated into the mysteries and you now belong to the club. Oh, brother, that you said you are initiated into the mystery and you now belong. Oh, my. And Brother Branham, by the way, every time he wanted, could reach in his pocket and take out a quarter. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, I'm going to faint. I'm going to die. Oh, that's terrible. I can't believe that. That's the devil. Goodbye. It wasn't nice knowing you. And you better wish you never not met me. So you people haven't come where I know I am. But you'll get there. There's nothing but the word. You say it now, but you ain't old enough. You can do what you want. And I'm like Dr. Newell. If you stand on the shores of New York and you're going to jump to Paris, the farther you jump, the greater danger in him. I'm going to be like the king who said, I want a man to drive my chariot. And I'll hire the best charioteer there is. And the guy took the chariot and whirled one wheel over the side of the cliff. The other guy put two wheels over. The other guy went like a thunderbolt. And one old guy said, he went 40 feet from the cliff. And the king said, that's the man I want. He said, when he drives that chariot, he's dealing with my life and I want to preserve it. All right. We've taken our little journey away from our subject when I showed you that people believe that Jesus is the Word and He is not the Word as the Word. In this case, this is the Word, Almighty God. Jesus is also Word. And remember, Jesus is the Son of God, but He's the only begotten, uniquely born, one-of-a-kind Son of God. And we are also sons of God. So when you see the word Son, do you just talk about Jesus or do you talk about yourself? So when you see the word Logos, is it God or is it the Son? By the way, we've got to be a little bit of word too. So let us go to the Greek as did Brother Branham, who is the authoritative, who is authoritative by reason of Deuteronomy 18. So we look at Logos again. Here's what the students say. Logos. This expression. And notice he doesn't just say word as a unit of language. He calls it an expression. As a word is an expression of a thought, this means more than just saying cat, 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 dog, dog, dog. It actually could be involved to the extent if you're going to say cat, what breed, how old, what size, how healthy, how privileged specimen, how trained, how sweet, how good at catching mice. What I'm trying to show you is you're not dealing simply with a word, a unit of language. As Brother Branham himself said, a word expresses a thought. We are talking about expression. Exactly what is in mind to be expressed. In other words, it has to be that which literally brings it into view in some way, transferring from that word to our minds the picture that is really there. Expression. Half the time gone? Good, we only got three more issues like this. Hey, he's right. Oh, forget it. Put a calendar on the wall. Take the clock down. And don't do this with your watch. See if it stops. The expression is the keynote and theme of the entire gospel. Logos, now listen, is from the root word whose primitive means original. Huh? Right? And primitive also means it hasn't been doctored and gussied up. This is what it is denoting, saying to you. The primitive meaning is to lay, put things out like this. Then to pick out, like this, pick it up. Then to gather in one place, and then to pick up. Now, you're picking up on what I said. As well as pick up means to carry. Right? Now, you understood what I said. This, then, is not simply a word. It is a revelation. It is a revelation. It is meaningful to the extent that this is actually it. Okay? Hence, to gather up or put together words, units of speech, put them together, and therefore you speak. Now, notice again, to lay it all out. Lay it all out. Whatever there is to be expressed, you follow me? Is all laid out. Now somebody's doing it. Then you pick out. Then you gather what you picked out. Then you pick it up. You bring it to the front. This is it. And they say from that, you're getting into language. So hence to gather or put words together is to speak. To converse, that's exactly right. Hence logos is first of all a collecting or a collection. That sounds very good. But when you say that, do you forget what is behind it? What about the ordering of it according to place and time and relationship and the relativity of it? Did you hear what I said? You can get the tape again, but I've made very careful notes here because I want you to think about this. Hence, logos is first of all a collecting or collection both of things in the mind and of the words by which they are expressed. Huh? It therefore signifies both the outward form by which the inward thought is expressed and the inward thought itself, like the Latin. Oratio and radio, compare Italian, ragionar, which means to think and then to speak. Now, be prepared to adjust your thinking. And I repeat, be prepared now to adjust your thinking. And go into a mindset. And here's the tough part. Because not one of you is likely getting beyond the definition of Logos, which I have read, and every one of you, because of your Western philosophy and how you treat language and words, is forgetting that Logos is actually God. Now, didn't you? You all sat there listening to the definition, and you took the definition, right? You did. But you forgot that Logos is God. That's what they all forgot. So they made it Jesus, they made it this, and they made it that. But my Bible says right here, now I'm going to read it to you, I'm not fooling you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In the beginning was this Logos, and this Logos was God. So, all right, I just read it to you. In the beginning was God. Now, in this beginning was this one God, Jehovah Elohim, now called the Word. He's got a new name. Like it says in the Bible, the one come riding on his thigh is written his name, which is the Word. His name is the Word of God. So God is called the Word. Because of this particular, peculiar definition, which allows you to begin to really comprehend this great God. God is the Word. His name is the Word. Actually God. God according to Himself operating and expressing Himself. God named the Word. Revelation. Actually, progressive revelation. Because if I talked about a cat 10 years ago, I talked about my little pussy kitty cat that was so active and running around, and I could make him chase his tail and fool him. When I talk about my 10-year-old cat, he just sits there looking out the window. He's too lazy to chase his tail, and he wouldn't bother a mouse if one came between his feet. So you see, when you use Logos, like we today, we've got to be current. We've got to be current. Because you cannot, under any stretch of your imagination, be dealing with Logos, which is a process within it where you lay it all out. And after laying it out, you pick it up, you know, to examine it and put it in places. And then you gather it all in one place. And then you put it in here where it really begins to be effective and real. Now, with seven church ages, you can see what I'm talking about. See? And you can see by later on as I talk to you, you'll begin to see more. In the beginning was God. Who essentially, now listen, I'm using Logos. And I'm talking about God. And you'll see why Logos is the word to use. In the beginning was God, who essentially took counsel with Himself in deference to all His attributes, which were aligned according to His infinite wisdom or omniscience. Then he precisely foreknew and ordained and predestinated according to his omnipotence and according to his spirit, which is love, and began the process of manifesting and revealing himself with the purpose in mind of being the Father and his family, because that's exactly what he ends up to be.
And you were in his thoughts, right? And I was in his thoughts, right? And he arranged his thoughts and his Godhoodness with us in mind. And here we are, 6,000 years later. And it's still God. Okay. Let's go again to Ephesians. Because that, see, I'm not an authority on Ephesians, but I'm one of the most prolific preachers the world's ever seen on Ephesians, because I took 48 messages, 1.5 hours apiece on just the first chapter. Didn't even get it all done. That's 72 solid hours. You find a book that's got 72 hours in Ephesians 1, and I'll buy it from you and throw it in the fire. Just save your reading, because you're a bunch of drivel. Okay. Verse 2, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father. Now remember, and our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom God is his Father. Now God's the Father of Jesus, and God's my Father, said Paul, and he's your Father too. Now this is real, really, really nice, because you see, this wasn't the way it was in the beginning. God had to pick, to lay it all out before him, who he was and what he was within him. Then he had to pick it up and lay it where each one belonged, and then he puts it in time and order. And that's why the Bible said, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, you can't make it. Sure, you're gone. So if you can't divide that this is God the Father, there's something wrong with you. Because Jesus was part of the plan. He wasn't the planner. Now, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven places in Christ, according to the God that has chosen us in God before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before God in love. Before him. In love, God having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, there's an objection right there. The first thing is right there, that we are that family, and Jesus is not even mentioned as what he has to do with this family, though we know that he is our elder brother and he is part of the family. Now, what has he got to do with it? Well, that's what God was doing here, sorting it all out, laying it down, putting it together, and bringing it into view. Right? Okay, well, sure it's right. Let's not be ridiculous. According to the good pleasure of God's will, to the praise of God's glory and of his grace, wherein God hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Jesus is the blood of God. Acts 20:28 will tell you that. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace, wherein God has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, if that doesn't tell you that he lays it all out there, what's within him, and according to his wisdom and prudence, which means wisdom of the highest order, and the ability to do it, he's doing it. Well, tell me what word describes that and names God better than Logos. Huh? You can't do it. You simply cannot do it. Now, that in the dispensation, the fullness of time, God might gather together all things in Christ. Now, there you see the whole thing. Now, listen, gather together. Lay it all out. Pick it up. Gather together, manifest it. Huh? Going on for 6,000 years. Then you tell me that's the Son? You tell me you can wiggle around this and make this not God? Who are you trying to kid? I got no fight with anybody, but we had a brother leave here, and he used this very, very word of God. Then he turns around and quotes everything Brother Branham said about the Son. That's Jesus only. I can't find Jesus only. I can see God in his Son. And I can see a whole lot of us. I'm so proud of our people here, our young people particularly, and the young ones growing up here, that
If I were to say anything that they weren't in it, I'd be just cutting my own throat. I'd be trying to think they're in my sort of image, and oh, they're so nice, and they glorify me. Hogwash. You ain't nobody's image but God if you're a son of God. Piffle. I'm not arrogant, stupid. I'm stupid, but not arrogant. Well, whatever. Let's hope I'm not. Gather all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. What he's got to do, when's he going to do it? At the resurrection, the first resurrection, he's going to gather everyone in heaven, wherever they are, that dimension. They're around us somewhere in the dimension, and all of us too. Why? Because as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all are made alive, but every man in his own order. The foolish virgin come after the wise virgin. Well, isn't that right? Here's God. He lays it all up before him. He picks it up, looks at it, puts it all down, gathers together, and puts it in order. For sure. The Son doesn't do that. No, God does that. Now, in whom, in God, also we have a kingdom of earth, being predestined according to the purpose of God's will, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of God's glory, for who first trusted in Christ, or hoped in Christ, whatever you want to put it. In whom we also hope, you hoped, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after you believed, you received the Holy Spirit of promise. Which is your inheritance until the redemption, the purchase possession of the praise of his glory. Now at the end time comes Almighty God himself into the church in spirit form. And what does he do? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now who in the world can do that but God? Who could do it but God? Jesus couldn't do it. Because he said God spoke him and showed him and revealed. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, you may know what is the hope of your calling, what you're trusting in, what you're calling. You're called the sons, the children of God, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. You're going to know about that, God and the Son both. And what is the exceeding greatness of God's power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Jesus did not raise himself from the dead, God raised him from the dead. And he's going to do that too. And he put Christ at his own right hand. And Jesus said, you that are faithful at this end time now and the different ones, he said, you'll sit with me in my Father's throne. Where's that going to be? Well, at the end time, I'll read it to you later. I can't do it right now. And I'll show you what Brother Brandon said. And right on down the line, far above all principality and power and so on. And that bride is the fullness of God that filleth all in all, wise virgin, foolish virgin, and that's it. Nothing but the human race. Now, there's where we look. Okay. Now we go to Revelation chapter 22. And I promise you can get out of here in 2.5 hours. I'll be good to you. 22:1-5. And he showed me a river of pure water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. Now there's God there and there's a Lamb there. And who's the Lamb? What John said, behold the Lamb of God. And Lamps has got his idea of that too. Forget it. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now there's something brought over from here, 12 months of the year. From the earth. There are certain things that God does not get rid of. He merely transmutes and glorifies. See? And there shall be no more curse. Now watch. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now watch. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God, the pillar of fire above the throne. Here's where Brother Branham got it. I didn't know till I read this last night. I've told you many times I didn't know any place in Scripture where the pillar of fire is above the throne. But he tells you right there. If the Lamb's on the throne, where is God? He's got to be above the throne. And they shall reign forever and ever. Now, that is the whole Godhead, Godhoodness, God everything as concerning God and His family that I read to you in Ephesians in here. God, Logos. Tell me, can you give Him a better name? You can't do it. Now, let's go to the next thought. In the beginning was God, who is called Logos. And it says the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me read the definition here. The preposition with, which with the accusative case, denotes motion towards or direction, is also often used in the New Testament in the sense of with, and not merely as being near or beside, but as a living union and communion, implying active notion of intercourse, which means working in union together, denoting existing and working together in such a way that there is no separation, as though one was without the other, or the other worked without the other. You follow me? That's with. Want me to read it again? Oh, I want to read it anyway, whether you want it or not, because this is tough. But you got the Holy Spirit, you got to have your minds renewed. Metamorphosis comes by renewing of the mind. And renewing of the mind comes by the Word of the living God given to you by the ministry within the within the church. Now, our end time ministries, fivefold, elders, deacons, all nine gifts, prophecy, prodigy, doesn't matter, all superseded by a prophet. Why? Because the prophet comes to put the church in order. That's 1 Corinthians 15. I've showed you that time after time. The prophet turns the heart of all the children back to the Father. That's the prophets. Now, if he's doing that, then everything is out of order. So shut up, fivefold ministry. Shut up, people. Put your gifts on the shelf. Shut up and sit down and listen. And get in order. Because when the trumpet blows, you better be in order for the battle to get out of here, or you're going to be out of luck. And there's many voices in the air, and all with some significance. Can you tell which one is the significant one? Can you tell the voice of God? You got to have a vindicated prophet to do. So, okay. We're going to listen again. The preposition with, which with the accusative. In other words, every preposition is followed by an object. The tail of the cat. The mane of the horse. The fish of the sea. The bird of the air. Every single one has an objective case. You cannot have a prepositional phrase without having an object, which will be a noun. So, the preposition with, that's a preposition. You got to have an object. With the accusative case. So what is it? That's the objective. Denotes, it doesn't just imply, it actually denotes. It means there's motion, direction. And it's used in the Old Testament in the sense of the word with. So, and not merely as being near or beside, but as a living union. So when you say the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, you are telling here that you cannot differentiate one from the other? And how could you? Because Logos is God. So you're talking now about the operational God. He's setting himself in view as the operational God. And he does it through word, which can be revealed to you and me, which is simply telling us what God is doing in his universe. And we are a part of it. And it's let every mouth be dumb. Shut up. Sit down. And listen. And when you know, get up and go. And if you don't, sit down till you know. I'd hate to have any of you people work on my car unless you have listened by sitting down and really knowing. Because those computers in there and those chips are way smarter than anybody here. And I got one going haywire. Now, the smart person made that chip. It's come to the place where Kurtweiler, the guy that made that, is now convinced that he can computerize computers with chips and everything else, and very subtly actually evolve into humans, like humans, even using nitric oxide gas, which the brain uses to differentiate and work. You put it right in something like that, and ho ho ho. And the robots will take over. Never. But I'm just letting you know you're not too smart. Because I'm dumb. Like the fellow said, I know, woman, you're a lady. I ain't much better. You're smarter than I am, many of you sitting here. But you ain't that smart. See, just ain't that smart. See, so therefore, when we talk about this word with, we are talking about an indissoluble union of which one cannot work without the other, for they are integral parts of the unity. And this is God, where people say this Bible is the printed God. God in... All right. This is a fairly good definition. But if Logos is actually God, how can God be with God? There are not two gods, only one God. So let us see how this can work. Well, notice. Number one, God is originally Elohim, not Logos. He is merely the self-existent one, completely manifested as that, with also being Logos in ability, lying within him. But he hasn't done anything about it yet. Now he begins to do it. He now is Jehovah Elohim, the self-existent one with a relationship within him to those attributes or thoughts that are within him but not yet displayed. So having and being Logos, Elohim, Logos, now he is literally Logos, and he picks it up, lays it out first, it's all there, picks it up, puts it together, gathers together, moves in it. If he is Jehovah Elohim, he's now embarked upon being truly Logos. He's got a relationship to what is within him is those parts. Now listen, we don't make Godhead. We are simply his thoughts and a part of him. You couldn't get a microscope, trillions of powers to even look at it, if you could. So, in his godhoodness, he has got to bring forth the only begotten Son. Now, He is manifestly Jehovah Elohim. Now, God in and through the Son, God creating all things by Christ Jesus. Now notice, God is creating all things by Christ Jesus. Didn't say Jesus is doing it, said God's doing it. The Son is now empowered with the omniscience and omnipotence in a measure, because God doesn't use it all, just that measure. Through the Son, the Son now does what Brother Branham said. And you see the world being made, millions and millions and millions, 500 million years old. Who cares? 40 billion, who gives a rip? Number three, in Him, the Jehovah complex, Jehovah Elohim, Redeemer, Shepherd, our peace, our sanctifier, our healer, our provider, our banner, our companion, ever present. I will give you the Comforter to be with you forever. He's our righteousness. This is Logos. This is Elohim with a purpose within Himself, which He will display and do according to His omniscience, backed by His omnipotence. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth, because this is exactly what Brother Branham brought out. Now, all of these purposes within Him, as Irenaeus said, God being a Savior, it was necessary to predestinate a man who would need saving. And look how He goes about doing it. The Lamb crucified before the foundation of the world, the good Father preparing everything as a loving Father should do for His children, that they would be remiss in nothing, and therefore He could not be remiss because He's perfect. Everything He does is perfect. So if you grouch a little bit about what's going on, just stop and think of it. The perfect God is doing this to you and me. I can look back now upon a life that I thought was full of fish heads and fin tails and you know, and everything else that was had the perfume of a skunk at a garden party. I thought I was really picked upon. I look back now and I say, wasn't that wonderful? Man alive, I had it so good. Just wish I'd been smart enough to know. You know, doesn't matter. God's in the driver's seat. He's got my chariot under control. Hallelujah. Now listen, God Himself, completely now God within His own Godhoodness, then He begins to move. The first move is revealed by Brother Branham as God begets the Son. That's over there in Ephesians 1 and 3. I won't read it again. And it ends in Revelation 22. Now, we all laid that all out. Have you followed me so far? Okay. Now, I'm going to diverge, and remember, I've got to come back to where I diverge. I didn't do too good a job last time. And I won't do too good this time either. Now, let me diverge or interpolate. As I said in the last message, man is body, spirit, soul. He is two parts spirit out of three parts. The one part that is not spirit is nothing but tissue. Every hair in your head, every bone, every bit of your blood plasma is tissue. Right? Certainly it is. See, the true man is the soul. Right? Right. Why? Because that is from the progenitor. The only part that's from God is the soul. The spirit is allowed of God, but not of God. And when you die like Christ, the spirit goes back to God who gave it, and the soul stands in jeopardy. Where will it go? Well, if it's of God, it's going to go to the place where God wants it to go. In the dimension that Brother Branham saw. And I'm going to be there. Yeah, I said, how do you know? He said, everyone that loved you and loved Him will be there. And on before God, my Bible opened before me, I was willing to give my life to Him. If God would have spared Him and given my life, I'd have said, Brother Branham, just do one thing, look in on my wife. Greater love has no man than to lay down a life for a friend. I'd have laid it down not for William Branham, as William Branham a man, though that he represented God. God was in him. I saw God in that man. I looked at God. I'd have been glad to give him my life. I'd have been happy. Man, think he'd be here and I'd be there. I wasn't selfish. No, brother, I was not selfish in giving my life. No, I was not. God knows my heart. This Bible's open before me. I loved him more than anyone but my wife. And if I'd loved him more than my wife, I'd have been a fool. Can't do that. I'm joined to my wife. We're one flesh. I'm going to be there. If he makes it, I'm going to make it. See, how do you know? Well, you know for yourself. I can't know for you. I got to know for me. All right, listen. Here it is. God is himself completely now God within his own godhoodness. And we come all the way down here in godhoodness. The true man is the soul, part of God. You can't lose part of God. He's got to redeem it, bring it back to where it was. D, the soul is a son of God via Adam. The spirit is given at birth. So body, ruled by senses and brain, connects to the soul by the spirit. Now, that's E. F, man is not called by soul or spirit, but by body. Right? You look at Levi. You don't think soul, you think flesh. Now, when you start to think soul, you're going into personality. When you start talking about spirit, you're going into personality, which you're going into traits that emanate from my body, and you see displayed in my body, and you say, man, like they said one time, that guy's the hardest preacher I ever heard. I'm not hard. If I were hard, I'd be rebelling against God. I'm standing with God. Does God ever change his mind? Does he change his word? Does he change anything? And why should I change? I'm here to defend the gospel, not morals. If you're born again and you're not moral, you're not born again. Don't try to tell me you are. You're a liar. You're lying to yourself and lying to God. You struggle in your flesh. You live, sin 1,000 times a day. You're backslide 1,000, my brother Brandon said. You're relying on Christ, but you hate yourself. And like David, your sin is always before you. And the Bible said, even confess your faults. With like a fault is a in the earth is like where an earthquake is. Where you have your problems. Don't tell people you did this and you did that. Just say, well, you know, I got a problem here that bothers me, and they want you to pray with me. And you tell some loudmouthed jackass to run around telling everything about you. Yeah, don't give me this. Don't give me a bunch of tripe up here in this pulpit. I'm not 85 years old and some little kid in kindergarten. Don't think for one minute. No. I don't know it all. And I'm not very strong, but I know enough to know something. So you are not known by your spirit or by your soul. You're known by your body. If you were known by your soul, you would say with God, David is a man after my own heart. But you know David after the flesh. And you say with 500 wives. That louse-bound heathen had to take another man's wife. He knew you shouldn't covet your neighbor's wife. He knew you shouldn't commit adultery. He knew he shouldn't kill. He did it. After the flesh, I'm with the Jews. David was a sleazebag. Oh, no. He's a man after God's own heart. He came from the heart of God. I don't care what he acted like. And I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't care if Brother Branham was adulterer and drunk like they accused him. He had thus saith the Lord. What's that got to do? Oh, Brother David, it's got to do. Shut up. You are a spiritual jackass. And I flatter you. I flatter you. You're a reprobate. You don't see anything I'm trying to tell you. You're not listening. Because you can't listen. You have no ears to listen, no eyes to see, nothing to comprehend. Man is qualified and quantified by his body. Though his body is only 1/3 of him, because the body alone is accountable by visibility to society. You say, just I beg your pardon, Brother Bale. There's a man named Einstein. And I don't even know him. I heard he had an affair with a woman, and that his wife actually wrote the great formulas. I'm telling you the truth, this is in the books. That Einstein is supposed to have actually written. And furthermore, Einstein was perhaps dyslexic for all we know. He was a kind of a nut in school. He didn't have much with mathematics. And so, Brother Vale, you see, I'm actually looking at Einstein beyond that flesh. And I know that he wrote those formulas on energy and actually had a part in the atomic bomb. See, Brother Vale, see, what you're telling me is you admire his brain. Huh? You admire his brain. What part of the brain is the man? Tissue. And you're admiring what comes out of the pen from the hand. Everything you know and judge about a man is physical, because you got five senses. And you also have the ability of the mind by the spirit and intelligence to put things together. See, you're made in the image of God, and you put everything out there and out there and out there. But we got nothing but comes by the flesh. We are identified 100% by the flesh, and if Einstein didn't have flesh, there'd be nothing. So Einstein, like you and me and everybody, is reduced to one thing, the one third of our body, which is flesh. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Pardon me. See, my throat's not so good. No matter what man is or how he actually operates inside, only the outside gets the attention. Oh, sir, I don't believe that. Then what part of you has got the attention of what Mr. Einstein produced? Now I close my eyes and I close my ears, don't read a thing, don't hear a thing, and I stand right there. Now Einstein vibrate. Oh, genius. Einstein was a genius. Oh, come on, don't give me that, you're stupid. The only thing that you get is by his physical and by your physical, then any other way. You follow me? Or do you? Now you gotta get this, or you ain't gonna get what I'm talking about. Even I have a problem, and I still got my problem. No matter what he is or how he actually operates from the inside, only the outside gets the attention. This body is man's record, pure and simple. This body is who this man is, regardless. This body is considered the totality of the man, even though it is only one third that is visible. So when you talk about anybody here, and I can name names, the front row, the second row, the third row, and I admit that when I talk about anybody, I have a visual picture of you. I can remember your frame, the clothes you wear. I remember you as you are physically. Then I have got to go another step. And I remember you as you project through your flesh. And if you didn't go through your flesh, I wouldn't know one single thing about you. If you just stood there, did this, I'd say, okay, 5'8", wears about a size 40-some suit, got brown eyes, got dark hair, got a very prominent nose, speaks very rapidly, going slightly deaf, can't hear too well, very sarcastic, meaning his approach, calls himself a Christian, preach Brother Man message. You haven't got one thing, boy, I told you, physical. Not one thing. Not one thing. Not one thing. Sorry. You're going to tell me different? Yeah, you say, well, Brother Bill, I'm psychic. You're laying yourself open to a lying spirit. Ha, 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 you don't know nothing. You know what? I can go to spiritists, can't tell me a thing. Can anybody here go to spirits and they tell you something? You better be careful. I've had people try to tell me things, can't do it. Can't do it. When could the devil tell anything to a child of God and make a stick? Now, let's get back to God, right? Now, here's what we're doing. We've got to get back to God from you because you're made in His image. Now, God is spirit. One. Two, God cannot be seen. Three, God cannot be heard per se. Four, God can be known even as man can be known. God can be known just like you and me. There's got to be something there. Five, for even as man, even as the two-thirds of man is completely judged and known by his body, and the body is with the man. Right? Huh? My body is with me. As Brother Branham said, my nose, my ear, my eyes, who's me? Well, there you are. So, you are not looking at Lee Vale. You are looking at what is with me. And when I drop dead, my body will not be with me. My spirit will go back to God who gave it, and my soul will go where Brother Branham is. Better. Because we're one spirit. All of one God. Who's me? My soul. What's my soul? Part of God. Child of God. So, I read again. For even as the two-thirds of man is completely judged and known by his body, and the body is with man, and the body is man, huh? What ain't it? Okay, come on, take a look at my soul. Go ahead. Tell me, is it a God or a hybrid? Now, check my spirit. It's like an angel waiting there. One third fell. What kind of spirit is that? That's sickening. Now I'm going to die. Tell me, what leaves first? My spirit or my soul? Or do they go together or what? Well, naturally, my spirit goes first because it came last. It's got to go first. Then my soul goes. I'm gone. Who's gone? Lee Dale's gone. Where's Lee Dale? Up in that dimension, Brother Branham. No, he's in the casket. Oh, yeah, that's part of me, one third. Who are you burying? Burying Lee Dale. I'm not with my body now. You catching it? You getting to understand? In the beginning was the Word. God called the Logos. And the Word was with God. The integral part. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And there was not anything made but what was made by this God. So he's telling you one thing as Paul the Apostle. Paul in Ephesians 1 was quoting John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 1 perfectly because it's one spirit. For even as the two-thirds of man is completely judged and known by his body, and the body is with man, and the body is man, so is Logos with God and is God, because God is only known by his word, because he is the word. He can only be known by the word. In the beginning is man's body. Now watch carefully. In the beginning is man's body. What you see comes as a body. You can't see the soul. And the man's body is with the man, and the body is the man. Now, not being tricky, you know jolly well what I'm saying. I'm up here, Lee Dale, and you are not dealing with my soul and my spirit, though you actually are. You're dealing with me, what you see and what you get from my flesh, and you put it all right here in my body. And you see, there it is, because you have nothing but your five senses. And your five senses with a microscope, millions and trillions in power, could never see a soul. Can never see it. I showed you the last time to hold up a potato. There you see, the potato can have a red skin, a brown skin, a purple skin. God knows what it's got. And it's got the white flesh inside, sometimes got a pinker flesh inside. It's got a creamy yellow, if it's a Klondike, a golden Klondike, this and that. But you can't see the life in that spud. But you take the eye out of the spud where that life is, you put it in the ground. The nutrients in the soil, which is adapted to, and the sun and the rain, plays upon that life in there, and lo and behold, you got a potato. Now, I can see the potato, but I cannot see the life. But I know it is a potato because I see the form of the potato. It is not a carrot. It is not a pea. It is not a bean. It is not a corn. It is not a melon. It is not a pomegranate. It is a potato because it's got a potato life. And that potato that I see right there and I cut in pieces, I peel and I eat, that's potato. This is the deal. That's all you got to deal with. And the Bible said, fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy body and soul in hell. Put them together. And he'll bring a resurrection to bring your vile body back if you're a sinner to burning hell. If I'm a seed of God, he'll bring this vile body back in the glorified form of Jesus Christ so I can reside the millennium and attain to a fullness that I've always wanted and could never have. Why? Because sin is with me and in me. And one day it'll only be the soul from God that God gave me. Oh, man, I'm going to enjoy living for the first time, and I'm going to take 1,000 years to just live and learn in that condition to get ready for the next step. And I'm going to have a body, and they're going to say, ha ha, Brother Branham's up there way up where Canada was at one time. He's up there sitting under the tree singing Amazing Grace, and Lowly Vale, he's down there with his nose in a book and waiting for the next ice cream parlor to open. Something like that. He's going to be Bill Branham, I'm going to be Lee Dale. And we're going to be the best of friends because we are. In the beginning is man's body. What you see comes as a baby. And man's body is with the man, and the body is the man. You cannot change it because it's you can't change it. It's part. And even though this body goes down the grave, it will positively come back in the resurrection, and the spirit doesn't have to come back because it's really not a part. It's there as a convenience to put the two together. Like the fear of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. You're right now there to the brain and the belly, aren't you? Ha ha! Yeah, science is proving philosophy. Hoo-hoo-hoo, wonderful science. Oh my, you're so marvelous. Pooh, I spit on it. Thus man is body. So Logos was the beginning, omnipotent, omniscient, loving spirit, now ready to begin his purposes that are within him and actually perform himself. God is consumed within him to do it because he is what he is, to be himself and reveal. But as a, you might say, but, and it's a big but, God will not take on a body as we know body. You follow what I said? He won't take on a body as we know a body. Now remember, Jesus had what is known as a word or spirit body. And then he took on a body prepared for him by God, so he could be the actual blood of God, and God could be the Redeemer in totality. And if you think he wasn't, then you tell me why Jesus was a part of him. I just love the word. See, I'm crazy about the word. Yeah, literally insane about it. You know why? I'm going to tell you a little secret. Brother Branham spoke a scripture. The water coming out of the eastern gate of the temple, to the ankle, Luther, to the thighs, Wesley. Pentecostals, water to swim in, but William Branham added something that's not there. Waters to carry you over. I have carried this word for over 30 years. Today, it will carry me over. You understand what I'm saying? Now, see, Levi will never kept anything from anybody. He will answer before God what I'm preaching. I have no hope but this word. As I have no body but this body in this life, I have no hope in this life and the next life but God, who chose to be, because he was, admitting what he was, Logos. What is his body? But, and a big but, God will not take on a body as we know it. Now there you let your thinking go. There you can become transformed by the Holy Spirit using his word, because the life of God is in his word. Or you can be a Pentecostal who saw signs and wonders, and the Catholics a prodigy. Go ahead. Or you can see God in his word, and you can see that. So let your thinking go. So what does God take on as his identification? Because my identification, solely veil, and that's just temporary. I got a new name. That's just temporary. Hey, like Peter. He won't be Peter the hard head. He'll be Peter the soft hearted, or whatever he is. So what does God take on as his identification? He has to take on something, because we are in his image and we took on flesh. And Christ became the image of God, and he took flesh like us. So what does he take on? He has to take on something, because we are in his image and we took on flesh. What will identify him as flesh identifies us. Now we must get a mindset by renewing of the mind. He is in his word. Aren't we in our bodies? And what's God in? He's in his word. He is identified by his word. Now let your thinking go, because the minute I say this, and this is true, how can you identify with the rebirth? While I spoke in tongues, I danced. Oh, God delivered me of smoking. God did this, God did that. What about William Branham? Well, he's of the devil. Oh, hell, do you? Goodbye. How do you identify Brother Branham? If you take anything but Deuteronomy 18 and Numbers 12, let me tell you this. You are sitting in your seats and sat under my ministry, some of you 30 years, and you don't know anything. You still don't know anything, because you don't know identification. Why would any preacher, anybody, even being around me, and me quoting William Branham, destroy the very things I'm teaching, which are William Branham's teaching? Now sit here and think. I'm not so stupid I don't know who you're related to, and who your cousins are, and everybody else, and who you are. I've talked to you, sat with you. And I can just about pick, and I hate to say this, and I maybe shouldn't say it, but I can just about pick up anybody by listening to you in a few minutes and tell where it's heading. I'm exactly like Lloyd said. The day that they said, you go to Fort Worth and you fix this machine, Lloyd said, I don't know first thing about electrical wiring and anything else. Well, here's the book. So he goes there and he does the job, and the experts are supposed to know everything, and Lloyd doesn't know anything about it. He said, hey, how in the world do you know that? Lloyd said, I snowed him. But he said, you let a man open his mouth about this message, and he can't snow you. Ooh, now listen, if you were a real Pentecostal like I am, you'd be screaming and shouting and testing the chandeliers. You know why? Because this is real. This is where reality is. This is where God is in His Word. So you got to identify God. You got to identify Him apart from the invisible. So you can't see. There's no way. You have to identify Him apart from God being self-existent spirit. Now, how am I going to do it? He's got to put Himself somehow into something that I can comprehend. All right. If I talk to you about something that isn't here or is invisible, and you have the mental capacity to receive the substitute of words because you're conversant, I can tell you every single thing, describe it until you think you're there. I can tell you the person's reactions and feeling until you're feeling it. But you're not even there. Then what if I can put God into the context of words? And then you can't see Him. Something's wrong somewhere. Because I can take you as a person, and I can describe to you, if I was able to describe architecture, I can tell you about our home here. You go down here to the second gravel road to the left, and you turn in about 800 feet, and there you'll see a house. I can describe that house and tell you on the porch there's four pots. In two pots there's certain kind of plants. The other two pots identical have two other kind of plants. And I can tell you that on the right-hand side is a certain window and brick. And the other side, the left hand, is another wind, exactly, and brick. And I can tell you about the black roof out there and describe it so perfectly. You just walk and say, ah, that's where Lee Hill is. Ha, 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 this is house. And I tell you the inside. You say, oh, I can tell you there's a hall here, and left hand's here, and the red rug there, and this, that. Oh, I remember that. And down the kitchen is there, and over here is there. And you've got the perfect picture. And you say, I can tell you right now all about his house. Will you draw a picture? Sure, I'll draw a picture. You haven't even been there. Think you got my house perfectly. And you're going to tell me you can't apprehend God by the Word? Well, let's keep reading. I got my notes. Got another hour long tape? Good. Well, you don't need it. I don't think. So what is He? He is Logos. He is the Word. He is the life and spirit in the Word, actually. Yes, actually, because that is His flesh, so to speak. His Word is what He is, as declared by Himself, who is invisible. So if you accept His Word, invisibility becomes visibility. Unknown becomes known. Paul said, the God that you worship, you say He's unknown. I will declare Him unto you. I will lead Him forth by words, and you will know this God. Huh? Take it or leave it. That is His flesh. His Word is what He said He is, as declared by Himself, who is invisible. And if a thing is invisible but has intelligence and can communicate to your intelligence, because you are a part of His intelligence, His thoughts made flesh, then you will be able to receive the revelation. God is Logos, not the Son. Well, Brother Bale, I differ. Look, you're not differing with me, so I won't make an issue. It's not my argument. That Word is God's manifestation or visibility of His own DNA. DNA is invisible It has tissue, even microscopic, that you can tell what is there. And if you don't have revealed word, you cannot tell what is there, because the word is with God and is God. That's why when they say God is in his church, that's ridiculous. God is in his word. Because you can't separate God from his word, because one is just a description of the other. And the word logos is a magnification as to explanation and revelation of what you are talking about. I have a car. You do? Yes, it is a Cadillac. Now, you got some information. Now, it is a pearly white Cadillac. Ah, now we got more. The covers inside are leather. Ah, now we got some more. The motor is a North Star, they call it, motor. Now, you got some more. It's got special transmission. Now, you got some more. And I keep talking and talking. And the more I talk, the more you know. And the car now is visible to you. And whether you know it or not, it is a part of you. It is a part of you. Because if I say right now, all right, people, one voice tell me, what kind of a car do I have? Tell me. That's part of you. What color is it? You'll never forget that. It's a part of you. Huh? And if I take God's word, what is it? Part of me. Piling word upon word. I come to a stature. You don't know, brother, sister, but I'm going to get carried over. God is God. Though I might have my doubts, though I might fear, though I might dominion things, he is going to carry me over. Why? Because I'm carrying this word. The cargo that I carry is a part of me. I am the cargo from the beginning. Look, the male sperm is life and tissue. The life is invisible. But though that life in its tissue meets the female tissue, and that invisible spirit life DNA, which is the real thing, you just called it the code of it, DNA, comes out of the tissue as a manifestation of life, and the manifestation is with the life, and the tissue manifestation makes the invisible light visible or recognized. That's why you breed a certain type of cat to another cat to get what you want. Years ago when I dealt in the fur farming industry, selling feeds, there was what they call line breeding. And line breeding made all the success in the world, whether you could develop a fur in the mink or the fox that the people wanted. So if we could develop from two kinds of mink a mutation and then breed them where we get a line and produce enough for a coat, hey, you could ask any price you wanted. In other words, you absolutely have to have physical elements to manifest any life whatsoever. Any life whatsoever. And as God chose flesh for us, he chose word for himself. And you will never know God except by the word. Now this is how I view Elohim becoming Logos, because he really was in him. See? What would be the use of God being God if you couldn't do anything about it? The fact that God can do things about himself, that's why he's called the living God. And life takes on texture. Look at it. When the angel appeared before Brother Branham, Brother Branham didn't call on the angel came to him. And then the angel had to make himself visible in a way that Brother Branham could see him. And so one day Brother Branham said, would you mind being visible to Billy Paul? I'd just like it is. And Billy Paul actually saw it. Now, what did he do for him? Don't ask me what he did for him. What would do if 40 angels appeared? You had the power. Would you know what angel it was? Could you deal with it outside of some intervention in a realm which is spirit so that you could connect? No way. No way. So God, being what he is, able to connect, used his wisdom and power to make connection. But to begin with, there's nothing to connect to except himself. So, all by himself, as Brother Branham said, he never had to think another thought or he wouldn't have been God. He knew every flea, how many there be, how many times it batted its eyeballs, and how many thousand or millions to make a pound of tallow. Infinite God. And this is what he chose, so we abide by what he chose. Now, this is how I view Elohim becoming Logos. It was, you see, when I say becoming Logos, in the beginning, what was already there, fully potential God, to bring himself into manifestation, using his own Godhoodness to do exactly what lay within him in a way that could not be done in any other person or any way but God. So now we have here Elohim Logos is actually now Jehovah Elohim Logos. And the reason I put Jehovah above Elohim Logos, because these are, it's subject to the Jehovah complex, which God is now centering upon to bring us to the Lamb on the throne, we are under the throne, and the pillar of fire above the throne. Understand why I'm doing it? All right, you understand, that's good. So, that is why I view, as I said, Elohim becoming Logos, the DNA or circuitry in Elohim, pattern now to eternal, that's the eternal God becoming flesh. You start way back there to become flesh. That's why it says in John, the Word became flesh. And becoming flesh put into absolute perfection and fulfillment, Ephesians 1 and Revelation chapter 2. Now, you trace us down from the seed of God, even as Jesus came down in flesh like us, becoming like us, and into visibility. I'm going to ask you a question. Brother Branham saw Jesus in a vision. Many people have seen Jesus in vision. Ask you a question. Did they see his spirit body or his glorified body? You know jolly well it was a vision of the glorified body. Nobody has a clue to the spirit body. See, the spirit body is completely invisible and has the circuitry or DNA spiritual within it. That on the plan of God, when it comes through a certain source, combining with elements in a certain way, will bring forth exactly what God wants. And Brother Branham said, God took your great-great-grandmother, great-great-grandfather, way, 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 way back to bring you today. And you say, oh, brother, I wish God hadn't done that. I wish I'd have been born to that nice, sweet person over there. I'd be a good-looking blonde with a nice, nice mannerism. I wouldn't be bugging my husband, blaming it on my nerves and screaming day and night as though he's got to control himself, but I don't have to. And the men, while I've been in the office all day long, it's very hot. I got to come on and take it out my way because those women downtown, they are such irascible, dirty, rotten. And my wife's a woman, but she's not one of them. But, I got to fuss at her, too. Oh, yeah, I know. You find down the road that you're wrong. I'm finding all the years I've been married that for the first time I'm a better husband than I ever was all the years, and I was so virile and strong and commanding everything else. Really knowing what true love is not that you're somebody, but you're somebody's together if you're ordained to God. And a wife is a sister the same as she's a wife, and a mother the same as she's also a sister.
You've got a long way to go, Brother Sitchin, before you learn things that you're supposed to learn. But thank God we can learn them. And as we learn them, all the other things are crossed out. But if you don't learn, they still sit there waiting to be learned. See, now you can trace us down from the seed of God. It's right back there when we're in Him, seed. Even as Jesus came down in flesh like us, becoming like us and into visibility, Elohim invisible became the Logos or Word, which He really was, see. Because it wasn't time to manifest that and to perform it. He fully, completely revealed Himself by the Word, written and spoken, and fulfilling Himself openly according to the Word, acting out the Word, even as we humans. No difference. Do you expect a colt that is born of a couple of good horses to bark like a dog? Arf, arf, arf. Or the cat to go bow, wow, wow? Then how can the son and sons be different from the father? And if New Jerusalem is our mother, what does that signify? That signifies as the woman gives the flesh and fleshes out the spirit, New Jerusalem, the church, all glorious within and without, there the standing around the groom, pillar of fire above there, wonderful beyond imagination. No wonder it's called our mother, because the fleshing out is the bride. The only one fleshing out is Jesus. And then when this spirit amongst us becomes incarnated, where'll incarnate itself? In the Son. And Brother Branham said, the wedding supper, crowning King, the King and Lord of Lords, that'll be the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, the Rose of Sharon, the altogether love, the all in all. And it's all flesh. Now, what are you feeding on? Spiritual revealed word of the living God. That's how you get where you're supposed to get. Now then, listen. I read it again. Now you trace us down. Do this. Here's what we do. Brother Branham traced us down from as being the seed of God, the thoughts of God within God. Now, he used the thoughts of God particularly because thoughts must be expressed. And expressed thoughts are word. In other words, they're the coat. They're the body. They're the pigments. They're every single thing there is to it. And you can't have one without the other. We say, blah, 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 blah. What is that? What is the old song? Chickory, chick, chala, chala. What is it? Nonsense. Describe a chimera. Ain't no such thing. But I'll tell you what imagination is. What about the Amazons? Ain't no such thing. I'll tell you what I think it is. What about a mermaid? No such thing, but I'll tell you what people think it is. Those aren't words. There's nothing real to them. Mermaid. Does that express something? No, it doesn't. Express it blah, blah, blah. There aren't mermaids. They're coats. One can't be without the other. See? Okay. Thought of God. The life of God. You've got to put a coat on it. Got to get a spirit for the physical world and the spirit world. See? Right. Okay, now you trace it down from the seed of God. Even as Jesus came down in flesh like us. Brother Banner said so. Becoming like us and into visibility. Elohim, invisible, same way, became the Logos or Word, letting us know He's going to take a coat upon Himself. He's going to give substance. See? Because He fully, completely revealed Himself by the Word. And even though God gave substance to all the life out here, and even though God appears on the scenes in prodigies, signs and wonders, you don't know one thing about it until it becomes word to you. Therefore, God is the Word.
Now we talk about the sense of complete logos. And when you come here, Paul used the same thing, logos, just as John did. And you can't change the meaning. The light is in the word. The words that I speak unto your spirit and light. What's he saying? I'm in my word. And the life was in the Father. What life in the Father? The same life that's in the word, the same life that's in you. And one will testify to the other. So if you're a seed of God, you will be born again. And if you're a seed of God born again, you will receive the prophet and the message. If you're born again, you will understand Godhead. You will enter into the mysteries. You will be initiated into the mysteries, and knowing the mysteries, you now belong to the sacred cup called the bride. Oh, Brother Bale, that's terrible language. Then you spit in Paul's face, don't spit in mine. You just don't know what the Bible means, that's all. But you don't need it. But if you're like a lot of folk, you don't need a pastor or someone to teach anyway, so you don't forget it. I may be sarcastic, but I'm making my point. And I got nothing to do with it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They'll follow me. He said, you serpent seed aren't going to do a thing about it. And the same serpent seed is here today. I told you about the rabbi who said, well, if I met Jesus today, I'd say, well, it's nice meeting you, but you know, I have the Torah. So you have your prodigies, you have your signs, and you do this and that, but I have the Torah. And Jesus said, you fools, search the scripture, and then you think you have eternal life, and there are they that testify of me. The rabbi's doing the same thing right today, same Jews. This man looking up all the Jews, he got them all nailed down. He wants them all in Jerusalem. What good's it going to do? Only 140 for 1,000 are going to make it. When you meddle with the word of God, you have set yourself up in a ridiculous way. So, okay, you trace us down as seed from God. Even as Jesus came down in flesh, becoming like us, into visibility, Elohim himself became visible. That Logos, telling us just exactly how he's going to do it. Because he fully, completely revealed himself by the word, he still wouldn't know one thing about a light. You still wouldn't know one thing about a pillar of fire. You wouldn't know one thing about the voice. You wouldn't know the whirling in the trees. You wouldn't know anything by nature, anything else, except it talked to you and revealed to you. And then you'd only know because you can't see. You can't apprehend. But when God puts himself into word, clothes himself in word, the Son hath declared him, led him forth by words. God revealed the Father. The Son revealed the Father. God manifested himself through the Son, expressed himself through the Son, and then gave his Son the words to say so that the people would know their God, which they couldn't know any other way. And he gave them a little trick, as it were, backing up his word, thus saith the Lord. And that was God to the people, because God was actually there. So Elohim invisible became the Logos or word because he wanted to be visible. He fully, completely revealed himself by the word, written and spoken, and fully himself. He did himself openly according to the word. He literally fulfilled himself, fulfilled his word openly. He did it himself, acting out his own word, even as we humans are in the flesh, acting out our own selves. So God, by his word, revealed himself. Just as the Bible said, by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned. Tells you again, what is the baptism with the Holy Ghost evidence? Tells you right there, you can't separate it. Thus he is with the word Logos, sets himself forth as the inseparable God, the Logos, with the Logos, complete God. The Logos is God. Thus God and his word are one, making him to us the word. Now, you see, this is where the mind must begin to pick and divorce all the other thoughts, though they are good thoughts, though it is true. God is healer. God is provider. God is this. God is that. How do you know except he said so? You have to put in the right context. That's why Brother Branham kept on saying the things that he said. Thus God in His Word are one, making Him the Word. This is the renewed mind thinking. And I believe that we are to be as sure and as comfortable in our surety as our prophet was when he said, God will judge the Word by one Christ Jesus, and He is the Word. Now, right away, the mind will say, Jesus is the Word. But I got news for you. Brother Branham said, according to Scripture, God Himself is going to judge the world. Doesn't say Jesus Christ is. It says God is going to judge the world. And He's going to do it by one Christ Jesus. The same as God was in Christ reconciling the world. The same as God was in Christ creating the world. The same as Jesus was that instrument that God used, that one that God used. They said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. An ordinary man could not do that. Brother Branham explained the virgin birth, that God actually created the sperm and the egg with the DNA and wrapped Himself in it to be sure absolutely the circuitry was what God's own body would bring forth. The Son came into the whole body, hast thou prepared for me? God departed, came back to the river Jordan, and when Jesus was 30 years of age, inhabited that body for 3.5 years, then left it again. That's why Jesus is the blood of God. And that's why the blood was shed. God is Redeemer. God is Healer. God is this. And no matter how He does it, He is still the one that does it. Like somebody said, talked about divine healing. He said to Brother Branham, he said, this divine healing you got, Brother Branham, said, I don't have any divine healing. He has it. A person talked to me concerning healing. I said, I'll tell you one thing. I never healed anybody in my life. God does the healing. But if I hadn't been there, then a lot of folk wouldn't have been healed. And that's the truth. If Jesus Christ had not been here, there would not be redemption. Though God is that Redeemer. How in the world are we going to have God outside of His Word? See? God not only is the Word, the Logos, the one who puts into manifestation everything that He positively is, can do, and will do, infinitely. Just don't try to make your own ideas, because the overcoat that God has is that Word. So if you don't see Word manifested and take it back to the Word, you're wrong. And when it goes back to the Word like the Jews and don't receive it, you are antichrist and condemned serpent seed. You'll go to hell. You can say what you want. But Brother Branham said, this message alone has life. And what is the message? God manifesting His grace in He Himself in this hour and doing it through Deuteronomy 18 and then telling us all about it. Then that's God. You can say what you want. All right. So Brother Branham said, God will judge this Word. And that's the Scripture, by one Christ Jesus. And He is the Word. Now, you're not saying Christ is the Word. Because why? Hebrews 13 and 8 is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Hebrews 13 and 8 is Genesis 18, where God, the righteous judge, comes down and judge all the earth. So who's the Word? God is the Word. God is that Word. God is the Word, not a unit of language, but God in His Word. So that even as God, as Word, gives us the ability to bring into reality in our consciousness without the reality being there, but knowing the reality is there of what is being taught. And we are now privy to that reality. But when you come to God, the same thing applies. God is actually giving you His own Word of understanding exactly what He is. And the minute that you accept that exact Word, the Word of Almighty God, you now have the reality of Almighty God Himself, because that life is in the Word, and that life in the Word reveals to your life in your body, your soul, via the mind and the spirit, and you now have complete union with Almighty God. That is exactly why you feed the Christ within you with the Word. Because the Word is that light. Actually and absolutely. And no word of God will return to Him void. It identifies Him completely. So God is the Word. not a unit of language, but God is in His Word. And the Word is God's flesh, so to speak. It identifies Him. That is why the evidence of the Holy Spirit is definitely believing the Word of God for the hour. Now, I can't add any more to that, except that you in your own mind have to begin to understand being made in the image of God. And the prophets are God to us. Those that receive the Word are God's. The prophets are our fathers. The only way you can reconcile the whole truth to that is what I have been saying today. That when God Himself, all by Himself, looked into Himself, no other thoughts could ever come. No other way could ever be worked out, or He would not be God. This one then absolutely, in order to be completely God, according to His own Godhoodness. And remember, that binds Him. How will He now act? How will He fulfill Himself? It's told you right here in the book. And John takes it logos. Paul explains it perfectly. And I've tried my best to show you, and Brother Branham keeps on saying, and He is the Word. God is the Word. What is your actual thinking? How are you reconciling it? The other night, a politician talking about God and said He is the Word. And I thought, exactly, Alan Keyes, what do you have in mind? And so it brings a thought today. When Brother Branham said God is the Word, what does it bring in our minds? Are we going to be so full of some type of education to learn exactly what Logos is? Or are we going to just boil it down to a simplistic thing that does not even mean too much to us, when Brother Branham used the same thinking and the same thoughts and the same pattern as everybody else did when he said a word expresses a thought? And so therefore, word then therefore applied to God means that God is expressing Himself. And that is true. When I speak, I express myself. And I'm going to tell you something. The only real veil that you will ever know is if I tell you exactly who I am. You can be fooled 100%. I could be 100% a hypocrite. As I said one time before, I could actually take Brother Branham, his name, and say, you know, I believe Brother Branham is a great prophet of God. And now I go to the deed, he comes and say, yes, sir, I believe that he was actually Jesus Christ. You had it right. Oh, they shower money on me. Then I run over here and they say, well, Brother Vail, you don't believe in this business of fruition. Oh, certainly not. I don't believe that. Brother Branham never taught that. Oh, yep, we'll be brother. And get a big money from them. And I could go here. And then one day I'd get conscience stricken. And I say, you know, folk, I got to tell you the truth. I didn't have any use for Brother Branham. I didn't believe he was a prophet of God. I just saw a good opportunity. And I know people just like that, so don't think I'm kidding. Brother Branham's names can make millions, and don't think it can't. If you think it can't, you don't even know anything. You're just plain foolish. And I could say, well, you know, I'm sorry I took your money. But just a racket. You say, now I see the real Lee Vail. You're right? Until I declare myself, you really don't know what's in me. But I have been declaring myself. When I told you that this word has got to take me over because I'm through. I'm finished. If this word doesn't take me over, I'm gone. Because I can't swim. Thank God when it said waters to swim in and I can't swim, it said waters to carry him over. That's the revelation for this hour, and though it may not be in the Bible, the prophet said it, it is God's holy word, thus saith the Lord. So He is the Word. So I'm going to tell you something. The next time you pick up your Bible or anything, Word, that's God. That's God revealing Himself. I can't disconnect it. He said, thou shalt not steal. That's God. Read Malachi. And let me ask you this question. When you read it, I want you to just ask yourself, do I believe where God was angry and He said, you don't do so-and-so, you don't do so-and-so? But he said, you do so and so and so and so. It stinks in my nostrils. He said, that stinks. That's abomination. And you don't even do this? You know, life is too much like the guy that I made a little joke of. He heard a sermon on salvation. He went to the altar. He began pounding the altar and talking to God. He said, Lord God, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I never lived for you at all. He said, I'm going to give up my drinking right now. Said, that's good. I'm going to give up my smoke, give up smoking. The Lord, he said, even, he said, I'll give up my family for you. I give up my father and mother. And the Lord spoke, said, I want your pocketbook. Hey, I didn't expect you to get this serious. Now, with that stupid little illustration in mind, I want you to read again the Bible. And don't you dare talk to me that you believe this message if you don't believe Malachi. Because you're an open book. And God is an open book. Let's look each other in the eye. I'm not calling for conduct that is pure, otherwise you wouldn't have an intercessor. I'm just calling, first of all, to believe. And then make some kind of an effort by repentance, changing your mind. And then say, Lord, it may be tough, but there's a way to do it. And believe me, there is a way to do it. It's God's way, and He's in His Word way. And there'll come a time when you bear this long enough, it'll carry you through. Because I want to tell you, Jesus carried the cross, and the cross carried Him through. Just think what I said. And it's Easter Sunday morning, and I'm thank you for your time. You did me a favor by one thing. I can give you everything I have in my mind until something else becomes clear, which I don't know when it's going to be ever again. I make no promises for anything or any time or any way, but I've done what I can, and I appreciate you being here, because without you I wouldn't have a ministry unless I've ever been writing or sending out tape what I mumble over. So the Lord bless you, and I know they have dinner waiting for you, and I trust that you are hungry enough by now to enjoy a good meal. Let us rise and be dismissed. Gracious Eternal Father, again we thank you for your love and kindness to us, wherein you've allowed us to come together and given us this time where the people are patient to hear out everything I have had to say at this moment, believing, Lord God, that we are getting closer and closer to where the prophet was when he was full assurance of faith and absolute familiarity was able to stand before us and say, and he is the Word, and know exactly what it means mentally and spiritually, and in unity with us, so that we are one with that. Even as Jesus said, do you not believe I am in the Father, and Father in me? And you and I can see by this word that that could be absolutely true in our case, though it could not be where you, most gracious, omnipotent Jehovah Elohim, would personally indwell us. No, we know that's not so. But we do know that we, as Jesus said, could be in Him and in the Father, and He in us and we in Him. And we know that is true in a mysterious, wonderful way. But we do want, and we recognize it, and know that you are the Word. But Lord, if it is possible, and it is our part, as Brother Branham said, when I'm gone, you'll be up here. If this is a part of it, then I thank you, Lord, that you will take us there with the beautiful humility and assurance and familiarity of this wonderful scripture of John. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. And Brother Branham said that to us every single time he spoke from the scripture. He is the Word. Lord, we give you glory, believing that perhaps not the fullness of this, but a large measure wherein we are familiar
and comfortable and knowledgeable with grace and humility and praise to your name, we come to the place I'm speaking in. Healing us also, Lord, in our seats, which I believe somehow that's coming. I don't understand it, Lord, because I just know that the prophet said they should just be healed, sitting there by the word, not even hands laid on them. All these things, Father, I have harbored in my heart. I do not question them. The only question I have is there some way that I can be a part of it through faith, your revelation? I would appreciate that. And if not me, that's fine. If the prophet said all people don't pray for the sick and all people don't get healing, I understand that. I will not intrude. But Lord, I would just say, here is your servant and your servants, the people standing here today. They want and knowingly receive into manifestation of some description what the prophet said lay here. And we will praise your name and give you glory, because we do desire that above anything else. That would be our epiphany, Lord, to know that, well, we've glorified your name just a little bit even. So now we commend ourselves to you in your grace. And if we meet again, fine. And if we don't, then that is all right too. We never know what's going to happen. Some of us getting older by the minute. And even young ones are terribly tested and tried. And sickness upon the people, Lord. We see little children even born with cancer, let alone living a long life and finally deteriorating. We see more and more the earth crumbling down. There's no hope but you. And we're glad it's that way, Lord. If something has to, like you said, the curse caused us cannot come. If this is what has to bring it about, then that's fine, because we feel comfortable with that, Lord. That what little fear we have doesn't have to stay with us. We can just put it aside and live day by day, moment by moment, trusting in you. So your grace, Lord God, be with your people here. And may there be a growth that we have not seen before in our hearts. And the growth manifests itself in the way that you want it to manifest. So learning more and more to keep out of the way. Let your word have the way in our life, planted, growing up, bearing seed. Unto thee we give the glory, because we do love you. We know you love us. We want to honor your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.